Psalms, but you do in this first psalm, it's almost as if we're reading one of the Proverbs, one of the great words of wisdom. I'm glad that it doesn't matter where you turn in your Bible, it's all words of wisdom. Amen? And the psalmist writes in this first psalm, I'd like to read it here this morning. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And I'd like to really look at the first three verses of this passage of Scripture that we've read here this morning. In this introductory statement that the psalmist makes, he says, "Blessed is the man." And if the Lord would help me this morning, I want to preach on this thought. I hope it'll help and encourage somebody. The blessed man. The blessed man. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for being such a good God and such a merciful God. We thank you for the blood that you shed at Calvary's cross. Lord, I thank you for saving my soul as an 8-year-old boy, Father. I thank you, Lord, that although I've stumbled, although I've fallen, although I've made mistakes, and Lord, although I've backslidden, God, that your mercy endureth forever, and God, that you'd give me a second chance, that you'd let me up here in this pulpit to preach this morning. Lord, I thank you so much for your grace and mercy. God, I thank you for everybody you brought here today, and Lord, I pray that as we look into the Scriptures, Lord, that your Holy Ghost would have free reign in our hearts and our minds, that we might receive further instruction now as to we might walk in godliness, how as we might be called of what your Scriptures would say, blessed, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would just rest our hearts and our minds, help us to be pointed towards Jesus. We'll ask all these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There are some identifying traits. There are some things that, some attributes of this blessed man that we can look at in these first three verses of this Scripture here this morning that we can look at that I believe we can apply directly to our lives. Things that can help us. Things that can encourage us. After all, that's why God has given us the Scriptures, so that we might know what His good will is and how to please Him. And there are a few things I'd like for us to look at. Three or four things we'll look at in these first three verses here this morning. The first and foremost thing I'd like for you to notice is that the blessed man is separated and sanctified. He is separated and sanctified. Look, it's right there in the Bible. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we are a peculiar people. We are a set apart people. That's what that word sanctified means. That word sanctified literally means set apart and holy unto God. You realize that when you got saved, you now belong to God. You are the purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, from the punishment and from the weight of the guilt of your sin, and you've been bought with the precious blood that is the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been bought with a price this morning. Amen. He's separated and sanctified. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He is a separated man. I'll ask you here this morning, church, who is your counsel? Who is it that you take refuge in? Who is it that you confide in? Who is it that you converse with? Who is it that when you need to know which direction to go or what kind of advice to have, who is it that you go to? I fear that in today's day and age, many of people, the last place they'll go is the church. The last place they'll go to is their pastor. The last place they'll go to is the Bible. But rather, they'll walk down the street to their neighbor's door and they'll knock on the door of their neighbor and say, "What should I do about this? And what should I do about this?" The Bible says that it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man, because you know what? Men can fail you. I can fail you. The church can fail you. But God will not fail you. Amen. He's perfect and righteous and upright in all his ways. And the blessed man is a separated man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not only does he not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't do things the way that the world does things. Amen. Now, I could sit here and I could hobby horse this all morning, but I want to get through and I want to look at some more scripture. But I do want to say this. You ought to know as a Christian the difference between right and wrong.
Come on.
And as a Christian, you ought to know that there are places you shouldn't go, that there are things that you shouldn't watch, that there are things that you shouldn't listen to, that there are things that you should not consume, that as a Christian, as one who's been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ and sanctified holy unto God, you ought to know better than to stand in the way of sinners. If you prayed that prayer and you got born again and it didn't convict you to go out and do all the things that you were doing before, my friend, you might not have got it. The Bible says that the blessed man does not stand in the way of sinners. Doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. The Bible says that we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. James said in chapter number 4 of his epistle, he said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" When we choose to rebel against a holy God and we choose, rather than conforming to the image of His Son, rather than being transformed and having our minds renewed, we choose rather to conform to the image of the world, we are sitting in the seat of the scornful. We are using our lives, we are using our testimonies, we are using our words to scorn and to mock against a holy God. The Bible says that the blessed man will not sit in the seat of the scornful. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You need to be careful who you associate yourself with. Amen. You need to be careful who you hang around with. And let me say this about this blessed man. He's separated and he's sanctified, and there is a difference between isolation and separation, okay? Amen. There's a difference between being set apart and isolating yourself and turning your back on those. The Bible says, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" You have to be able to be a testimony. You have to be able to be a gospel witness. You have to be able to be a Christ-like example to this lost and dying world. But you can't get in there and stand in the way of sinners and take counsel from the ungodly and sit in the seat of the scornful and expect God to call you blessed.
Amen.
Why is separation so important? First and foremost, it's important so we can glorify God. That's the number one thing right there. So God gets glory out of our lives. But secondly, I want you to know this, because it is important to be a testimony to others. My pastor would always say this from the pulpit. He says, "You're the only Bible some people will ever read." Some people, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to get them in their door, inside of these doors on a Sunday morning. You're not going to be able to get them to sit down at a kitchen table and open a King James Bible and talk to them and witness to them. But I can tell you one thing, they're going to be watching your life.
Amen.
They're going to be watching the way that you act. And if you're out carousing around and acting like the world and drinking beer and drinking liquor and smoking weed and doing all these things, they're not going to want what you got.
Amen.
They're not going to want anything that you've got if that is your religion this morning. The Bible says that the blessed man is a separated and sanctified man. Now let me say this. Matthew Henry, he said it this way. He said, "The Lord knows those that are His by name, but we have to know them by character." Amen? The only person I know in here 100% sure for sure is saved is me. And the only person in here this morning that you can know for sure is saved is you, because it's a personal relationship with God, and only you know how the Holy Ghost will deal with your heart and if that spirit will bear witness. But I will say this about it. Amen? It's important to live a separated and holy life unto God. Let me say this. Get ready for it. You can live a separated life and not be sanctified.
Amen.
You can be as separated as you want. You can wear your suit and your tie to church. You can tote your Bible in here and you can do all these things and not have 1 ounce of sanctification on the inside.
Amen.
That's the truth of the matter. That sanctification, it's separation, but it's separation unto God. Amen? The blessed man, he's separated, he's sanctified, but not only is he separated and sanctified, but he is saturated with the Scriptures. He is saturated with the Scriptures. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." You can tell a lot about someone by asking them what they desire, what they like, what they enjoy, what things they love. And the Bible says of the blessed man that his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now keep in mind, this stands in contrast to everything we've found in verse number 1. See, the world and the sinner and the wicked and the ungodly, where do they get their delight? Where do they get their pleasure? They get it from standing in the counsel of the ungodly. They get it from standing in the way of sinners. They get it from sitting in the seat of the scornful. They get it from all these things that the world would push them and say, this is where you have joy. This is where you have delight. This is where you have peace. But the Bible says of the blessed man that his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. I tell you, the world hates this book. The world hates our Savior, the world hates God, and the world hates this book. But those of us which are saved, God has given us a hunger, and God has given us desire for His righteousness. And the more you know about this book, the more you'll know about God. What you do with this book right here is going to determine what God does with you in your life. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. If you saturate your life with the Word of God, you're saturating your life with the power of God. This right here, this is where the power of God is. This is where the power of God over that temptation is. Right here is where the power of God over that addiction is. Right here is where the power of God over that bad attitude is. Right here is where the power of God over all that sin in your life. Right here is where it is. God, there's no way we could have, we wouldn't even have a chance to live a life that's pleasing to God without His Word right here.
Amen.
We would not, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is our direction. It's a roadmap for our lives. It's sure, it's stable, it's pure, it's holy, it's perfect, and you're never going to come to it and find a mistake. Amen. The Bible says, in His law doth He meditate day and night. One of my best friends in this world, Pastor Chad Eastep, he's a fantastic preacher, and he always has such great thoughts from the Scriptures when he's preaching, and I believe it's because he lets those sermons, he lets those messages stew for a long time. He might get a message from the Lord, and he might think on that message for months and months and months before he ever even preaches it. He just meditates on it. He just chews on it. And he wakes up in the morning, and he's thinking about it. And he goes to bed tonight. He goes to bed at night, and he's thinking about it. My friend, how many times a day do you think about the Word of God? How many times a day does Scripture come across your mind? Does the only time you think of the Word of God, is it on Sunday morning when you say, well, I can't leave the house and forget my Bible on my way to church? You won't find yourself blessed that way.
Amen.
That's not who God calls the blessed man. God says that the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. My friend, the more you get into this book, the deeper that you begin to dig into the truths of God's Word, the more you'll find out that you love it. The more you'll find out that you love about God. The more you want to know about God, the more you learn about His Word. He's perfect. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to meditate on His Word day and night. You can't ever get too much of it. There's indiscoverable depths in this world. It's an inexhaustible book.
Amen.
The blessed man is separated. He's sanctified. He's saturated with the Scriptures. I want you to look in verse number 3. He strives with the Spirit. He strives with the Spirit. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I love the illustration that God gives us here with a tree. He gives us this illustration of a tree because I believe, one, this tree can bring forth fruit. This tree's got leaves, so it makes perfect for the illustration that the psalmist is given here. But this tree's got to have roots. And its roots got to dig deep. And you look where it is, it's planted beside that rivers of water. I can't really imagine a better place for a tree to be than beside a river. You say, how do I get my roots in? How do I dig those roots deep in there? How do I plant myself firmly? How do I strive with the Word of God? Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Meditate on it day and night. Stay faithful to the things of God. Stay steadfast in your service towards God, and He'll dig those roots in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And when the storm comes, it won't be able to shake you. Amen?
Amen.
Water in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Rivers of running water, primarily in several places in the Scriptures, are a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe that it's no coincidence that in the first psalm, the psalmist says that this tree planted is planted next to rivers of water. Rivers of water. You know what that tells me, Brother Jeremy? Is that if I'm going to strive with the Spirit of God, I need to be doing my best to be where He is. I need to find out where God is. I need to find out where God wants me. He says, Mike, this is what I want of you, and I need to plant myself there. Amen?
Amen.
Planted by rivers of water. I was speaking the other day, this last Monday, with Brother Caleb Lindsay, and we were talking about the Spirit of God, and he mentioned something to me. He said, Brother Mike, he said, the Spirit of God is the most sensitive person that you will ever be around in a church service. He said, the Holy Spirit of God is the most sensitive person that you will ever meet. He told me a story of a preacher, an old-time preacher from Myrtle, Mississippi, by the name of Dr. Percy Ray. He started Camp Zion down there, and Percy Ray was God's man, and he was a preacher, and he told this story about how Brother Percy was preaching a revival meeting and how midway through the week he had to go and have his suits dry cleaned, and he took them and he dropped them off at the dry cleaner, and he was going to pick them up the next day, and just without even thinking about it, he had a paper clip in his hand from the desk of the dry cleaners, and he put it in his pocket, and he walked out of the place, and he said he got back to his hotel room and he was praying, and it felt like the heavens were brass, and it felt like he couldn't get through, and he got to the church service and he was preaching and it was just dead as a hammer, and he couldn't understand it because it had been so lively, and it felt like God was moving every night before. And after the service he went out back to the hotel room and he started praying, and he said, God, what was it? What have I done? What's between you and me? And the next morning when he went to put on his suit, he felt down in his pocket and he got that paperclip, and God spoke to his heart and said, you need to go take that back. That wasn't yours. You took that. And he drove all the way back across town to that dry cleaner, and he gave that paperclip back to that woman, and that woman looked at him like she was crazy, and she said, it's just a paperclip. It doesn't make a difference. She said, it might not make a difference to you, but it makes a difference to the Holy Ghost of God, because that wasn't mine, and I took it. My friend, the Holy Ghost of God is the most sensitive person that you will ever meet. Brother Larry's been teaching on grieving. The Holy Ghost of God, he's so easy to grieve.
Amen.
So easy to grieve when we do things that are unholy, wicked. Even if it's unbeknownst to us, ignorance is no excuse for transgression. God, the Holy Ghost, is sensitive. And if you're going to be a blessed person, you need to find yourself where the Holy Spirit of God is. You need to follow after Him. You need to be sensitive to His leading and listen to Him and His calling. And you need to follow after Him if you want to be blessed. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He strives with the Spirit. He strives with the Spirit. Amen. And last but not least, I want to say this. He's separated and sanctified. He's saturated with the Scriptures. He strives with the Spirit. And last but not least, he is satisfied in service. He is satisfied in service. Verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
That sounds like a blessed man to me. This blessed man, you know what Paul said? He said, I would that you would bring forth fruit that remains. You know what God is looking for out of us? He's looking for that spiritual fruit.
Amen.
That we can bear and bring forth and harvest unto the glory of God. He's looking for fruitfulness. He's looking for people that want to be like Christ. And there are many a people in many a churches this morning, and their leaves are withering. You say, why? Because they're not bringing forth fruit. They're not bringing forth fruit. So why are they not bringing forth fruit? They're not planted in the right place. They're not anywhere close to those rivers of water.
Amen.
They don't desire the Holy Ghost in their life. They don't desire a filling of the Holy Spirit in their life. I was reading A.W. Tozer, and he said it's important to desire a filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, but he said it's not only so important that it is the principal desire, but he said that it would be the only desire in the Christian's life to live a Holy Spirit-filled life and to bring forth fruit that remains for the glory of God. If you make up your mind this morning, hey, I'm going to glorify God no matter what it costs me, no matter where it puts me. We talk about the blessed man, and so many people would stand up in pulpits even this morning and say, God will give you money, and God will give you cars, and God will give you riches, and He'll give you houses, and He'll give you all these things. My friend, that's not the blessed man this morning. The blessed man is the one who stays close to God, the one who loves God's word, the one who serves God, and the one who, when God looks down upon him, says, my servant in whom I am well pleased. Amen.
That's right.
God's looking for people to bring forth fruit for His glory. And there's plenty of people, and their leaves are withering.
Yep.
And one day they'll draw their final breath, and they'll stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ with nothing to offer.
Amen.
With nothing to give Him. With no crowns to cast at His feet. The leaves are withering. But God says of the blessed man, He says, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'll tell you what I want more than anything with my life. I just want it to count.
Amen.
I don't want it to be a waste. I don't want to have mishandled the things of God and taken all this mercy and all this grace that God's shown me and simply cast it away. I want to be blessed, amen?
Amen.
I want to be blessed of God. So what's it going to take, preacher? It's going to take you being separated, sanctified, holy unto God. It's going to take your life being saturated with the Scriptures. I listened to a preacher talk the other day to a boy. The boy was a big-time Greek and Hebrew scholar, and he was dogging on the King James Bible and said he couldn't understand it. And that preacher looked at him. He said, you know, that's funny. He said, you just graduated college and you're telling me all this. He said, your pawpaw could understand it. And he said he was a mighty good preacher too, and he didn't get past the sixth grade. He said, what's the difference there?
Amen.
It's that people don't have their delight in the law of the Lord anymore.
Exactly it.
It's that there are movies, and there are music, and there's concerts, and all these things that appease our flesh, and it's just easy, quick gratification to us, and they don't want to discipline themselves and dig in the Word of God. My friend, I'm telling you what, some of the best times I've ever had just been alone reading the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You get down there and you dig and you look for things and you talk to God and you pray, God will bring the glory down from heaven and touch your soul every once in a while. Your delight has to be in the law of the Lord. You have to saturate your life with the Scriptures. Charles Spurgeon said, a one whose Bible is falling apart oftentimes means their life isn't. Amen. I want to know the Scriptures. I want to know God. I want to be blessed of God. I want to delight in His law. I want to meditate on it day and night. I want to be blessed of God. I want to strive with the Spirit of God. I want in my life for the Holy Spirit of God, Brother Jeremy, to be just as real and just as personal as any one of you are in here to me today.
Amen.
I'd shake hands with you. I'd talk to you. I'd speak to you. I'd commune with you. I want that of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be planted right there on His hip, right there where He is. I want to be following Him.
Amen.
I want to be blessed. Amen. And I want to be satisfied in service. I want to bring forth fruit for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want my leaf to wither. I want everything that I do for the glory of God to prosper and to be blessed of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, there might be some of you in here this morning, some part of the message or another spoke to your heart. And you say, preacher, I want to be blessed. I want God to bless my life. And there are some things in my life, if I want God to bless me, that I need to get right. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. God bless those hands all over the house. I invite you to come up to the altar this morning. Say, God, I want you to bless me. God, help me to get my priorities in line. Help me to get my desires in line with what you would desire of me. God, help me to delight in your law. Help me to strive to follow with your spirit. Help me to bring forth fruit that abounds. Help me to honestly and sincerely devote my life to you that I might truly be called a blessed man. As folks come to the altar, I invite you this morning. It's simple, church. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience to God brings blessing. There might be one in here this morning. Let's say, preacher, if I'm being completely honest right now, I don't even know if I died if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that if I died, heaven would be my home. Would you raise your hand? There's nobody looking but me. The most important thing in this world is that you don't miss your chance with God, and that if you were to die today, you wouldn't burn in hell for all of eternity. God came to the cross, came to Calvary's cross to shed His blood, to suffer, to die. He was resurrected from the dead to save your soul. Here this morning, if you'll call on His name, you can be saved. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand this morning? Say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to be. I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. Preacher, pray for me. How many of you raise your hand and say, I want to be blessed? I want God to use me. I want my life to be blessed of God. We know what it takes. But you and I, what we have to do is we have to battle our flesh. We have to battle those unholy desires. Just depend on God. Trust God. Delight in His law. Strive with His Spirit. He'll satisfy you this morning.